Shrink Wrap Radio. All the psychology you need to know, and just enough to make you dangerous.
Shrink Wrap Radio number 164, A Holistic Approach to Treating PTSD in Israel, July 18th, 2008. Welcome to Shrink Wrap Radio, the planet's premier psychology podcast. This is your host, Dr. Dave, coming to you from the San Francisco Bay Area. Shrink Wrap Radio is the show that speaks from the psychologist in me to the psychologist in you, whether you be amateur, student, or professional.
I can just tell you story after story from for terror traumas that they last. You know, I have a lawyer who is a top lawyer sitting in a central building in Jerusalem where a bus was blown up right in front of his window, and he couldn't go in his office because every time he went in his office, he just kept recreating that old information. And he just knocked it out in one session, and he goes to work fine.
That was the voice of my guest, Rabbi Emmanuel Yosef Legomsky, talking about the use of emotional freedom technique to treat acute trauma. Rabbi Emmanuel Yosef Legomsky, M.A., has been researching and practically integrating mind-slash-body therapies in Israel since relocating from the USA in 1987. In 2002, he started www.israeltraumacare.org to give free psychotrauma care to terror victims and to train facilitators to serve the public. He's used EFT as the tool of choice and has trained nearly 600 facilitators. Now, Rabbi Legomsky is networking with physical medicine specialists to offer a comprehensive six-month residential program for adult women to cure emotional disorders. This program will provide total care and feature daily sessions of NeuroCare EEG, neurofeedback, EFT, and NLP. Rabbi Legomsky and his wife are both trainers. Together with complete mind-body exercise, bioidentical natural hormone treatment, a personalized vitamin, mineral, nutrition regime, occupational therapy, and spiritual healing, the goal is to refine and provide a model that can be replicated to heal emotional disorders worldwide. Now, here's the interview. Rabbi Emmanuel Yosef Legomsky, welcome to Shrink Wrap Radio.
Thank you, Dr. Dave. It's nice to be with you.
Okay, well, of course, I start off by addressing you as rabbi, so let's start there. What moved you to want to become a rabbi?
Well, actually, my father grew up in a religious family. My mother did not. I grew up in Pennsylvania, Pittsburgh, and I grew up Reform. And I just had a personality where I was always looking for, spiritual meaning in life. And that brought me to meditation at a young age and other things. And I guess that it was just a natural course of events to explore my historical history of being born a Jew. And I went to Israel in 79 at the age of 22, and then again in 81. And then I settled in Israel in 87. And I spent a good number of years in what's called a yeshiva or a rabbinical seminary, and I became a rabbi. But for me, the term rabbi in my life is just indicative of a spiritual course and also training, of course. I do use the title simply because it can be useful in therapy as an authority figure, and it also stands for something that people will expect from me to maintain a certain level of integrity, and that's good for me and for them.
I see. So you don't conduct religious services. You don't have a I'm not sure what the right word is. Congregation?
Yeah, I don't have a congregation myself. Every person who's religious has a rabbi above them because we're all learners, and in learning, you have to have, you know, just like you play tennis, you have to have someone who's better than you if you want to get good.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a question of having someone above you in authority. It's also a question of also just having guidance. And also, I guess, another issue, which is what guidance is all about, which is humility, to have the ability to be able to know that even if your logic says something different, if you went to an authority and you consider that authority your authority, so you're going to listen to what he says even when he tells you what you don't want to hear, which I think is also a very useful concept, because my picture of the world is that spirituality is about that there's something above my own ego, my own intelligence, my own emotional feelings, and I really think that's where my whole speciality in psychology is as well.
Okay.
That point, that specific point.
And just before I move on from this topic, did you stay with the Reform tradition that you had grown up in?
Oh, no. When I say I became a rabbi, it means that I went to Orthodox Rabbinical Seminary.
Okay.
I'm considered an Orthodox rabbi, and in fact, I'm a Hasidic rabbi who has studied what you'd call the mystical traditions of Judaism and practices, certain forms of self-development that rely on those understandings of spirituality. And I have a Hasidic rabbi who is in his 70s, who's considered one of the most learned people today, who is, I consider him my rabbi, and I consult with him on anything I need to, and I listen to what he says.
Okay, well, it's fascinating. You got interested in the spiritual journey early on, and sounds like you explored various directions, and you ended up going with the very traditional and mystical tradition within Judaism. Now, do you also identify as a psychologist or psychotherapist? Is that
well,
right?
I can't give myself that title because I have no psychology degree.
Okay.
I actually have an MA in education. I have a rabbinical degree, and I have 30 to 40 at least certifications. The original field that I studied in the 90s was bio and neurofeedback, which recently I brought back into my integrated program for emotional health, because I found one specific method of EEG, that's electroencephalography, neurofeedback, brainwave biofeedback, which is fundamentally different from any other form, and it really works unbelievably well. And I've just been, you know, as other trainers are seeing outright miracles with it, it seems to enable the amygdala to regulate itself so that it either doesn't go into the fight, flight, or freeze response, or it recovers very quickly, because it's based on trusting the central nervous system's ability to self-regulate through a uniquely negative feedback system, which simply means, you might say interrupting the chaos, but it's not a positive stimulus instead of stimulation. It's actually enabling the orientation, the orienting response, the relaxation response to just let the central nervous system rest and go back to itself and recover.
Okay.
Amazing.
I want to ask you more about that and find out more about that, but I realize that we sort of skipped ahead. I wanted to ask you, when did you move to, well, I think you mentioned the date. What motivated you to move to Israel? Are you still a U.S. citizen? Are you an Israeli citizen? Do you have dual citizenship?
Yes, I have dual citizenship, and I have family in America, and my wife and children, of course, are over here, and I've been in Israel permanently since 1987. And I was motivated simply because it was part of my return, that I felt as a Jew, as a religious Jew, that this was my place. And I see now, of course, in retrospect, that also in my profession, I'm living in the center of trauma, the center of, you know, world trauma.
Yes.
So it's certainly an arena where it certainly needs full resources and full attention.
Yes, and that's really the focus, I think, of our discussion today, is I'm really interested in hearing about the sort of trauma that's going on there and the tools that you're using to work with it, because I know that's a very large focus of your work. And, you know, and even though you don't have this official certification as a psychologist, you did get involved initially, you were saying, with this neurofeedback. How did that come to happen?
Well, I think having children and being interested in education and the whole difficulty that so many children have a label like ADD, attention deficit disorder, and learning is such a central part of the Jewish education system. So I was interested in helping people to be able to learn better, and I early on came to the conclusion that psychology is not about the mind and not about the body. It's about, I don't even want to use the word mind-body, the human being has to be seen as a whole, and that everything that expresses itself emotionally or intellectually certainly has a physiological state that goes with it. And by learning what I call self-regulation skills mm-hmm. of the physiology, it seems to be what I have found to be the best door or window into helping the human being also mediate unproductive or unresourceful thoughts or feelings.
Okay, so, you know, I have some familiarity and background with biofeedback. I was interested in it when it first sort of hit the scene and went through some training, but then I didn't really go all the way down that path. But you seem to suggest that there's something that's unique or different about this particular biofeedback approach that or equipment. What sort of equipment are we talking about? Where are the electrodes placed, etc.?
We're talking about the equipment that's designed by Dr. Valdin and Sue Brown called NeuroCare Pro.
Okay.
And the website is zengar.com. That's zengar.com. And I was actually quite disillusioned with brainwave biofeedback, and I thought I would never go back because I had become actually the most highly licensed person in Israel in emotional freedom techniques. That's Gary Craig's work. I'm in charge of licensing practitioners in Israel for the organization in Europe that has Gary's sanction, which is called the AAMET. In fact, I am the AAMET in Israel. And I have been very, very active with emotional freedom techniques and, of course, neuro-linguistic programming, which is one of the two, what you'd call, causative agents that resulted in Gary's development of emotional freedom techniques. And I'm a trainer in NLP, as is my wife, and I'm a trainer in EFT, as is my wife. And we have found tremendous results from helping people with what's called energy psychology and NLP.
Okay, so we're going to cover all of that. Backing up just a little bit, though, you said that you were disillusioned with biofeedback as it was being practiced until you discovered the Zengar.com approach. So what was
right.
different? What was your experience? What changed for you, or what was different about that?
Well, I really believe that one has to have an understanding of how these systems work, but I can say it shortly. The reason I got back is because I had a student in emotional freedom techniques when I taught a practitioner training in Manhattan who's a psychiatrist who had changed his clinic to a neurofeedback clinic and came to me saying, "You are known as the biofeedback rabbi since the 90s. You got to look at what Val Brown's doing today, and you got to go back there because it's really taking people... It's having effects that I'm seeing people minimize and even come off medications from this training. So to try and understand it on a, you know, very simple basis, it's a negative feedback system, which it's unique in that, and he calls it nonlinear dynamical approach to training. And basically what that means on a simple level is that the feedback, instead of producing a goal in order to get a point or a beep or a reward, you're just listening to music, which is like unconditional love. It's like the reward's there all the time. And the way that the software from the EEG is set up is such that when, and this is metaphorical, but it really does explain the process, when the mind, your mind, is less than completely calm and in the present, you know, much like mindfulness meditation, if
yes.
not in the present and calm, because, you know, many problems, anxiety, you're in the future, sadness and, you know, depression and grief, you're in the past.
Yes.
So if you're just enjoying the music and you're right there in the music, so my personal experience is that I go into a transcendental state, a non-dual state, where my ego's not there, there's not the I, and there's not the thing that I'm knowing, there's just the process of knowing, and I'm just, you know, in the music, literally in the music.
Yeah, but you're hooked up to a device, right?
You have an EEG with electrodes on your head and your ears, but they're totally non-invasive. In other words, nothing is going into you.
Okay, and then how does it, because you almost said this, but then I think you moved away from it. So it's monitoring what's going on inside your brain in some way, and then it does it change that music somehow that you're hearing all the time?
Great question, Doc.
Okay.
Great question. Basically, the way I understand it is that all EEG does is monitor or measure the electrical potentials on the scalp, and that is indicative of what's happening in the deep brain, because people with the same issues seem to have similar brain signatures, and they've shown how if you can change those brain signatures, then people seem to get better. But what's happening is it's just measuring those electrical potentials. And the music, there is software that has four different phases of training that's in the music. Now, how it works is not something that can be explained on one foot, but basically this software is set up so that when your mind, again metaphorically, is not in the present and not calm, so the facilitator is setting a difficult factor on the instrument so that whether you're first grader or a PhD, you're going to get a level that is going to increase your ability to become calmer and calmer.
Okay.
And the way it works is simply that when your mind is not calm according to your level, there will be like a, you know, we had long playing records and they had a skip in them.
Yes.
And because it's a negative feedback system, in the sense that because the music's there like unconditional love and you just want it because it's nice, so if it stops for a half a second or a millisecond, that's not so nice for you. So your mind will just want to gravitate back towards, you know, the comfortable position of enjoying the music.
Okay.
However, what's really amazing about this system, Dr. Dave, because this is an important point, is that what we found now is that the feedback is more effective subliminally, because the nature, particularly of our Western minds, is that if we hear a skip, we want to say, oh no, I'm not relaxed enough, I'm not doing good enough, I better try harder. And this system uniquely relies on the idea, the reality, that our central nervous system is a sublimely, you'll excuse my religion, but godly created mechanism that self-regulates itself much better than we do. And if we try, we'll probably mess it up, because, you know, trying to relax can make some people do the opposite.
Yes.
So in the end, what happens is, today, most of the feedback is subliminal, and the mind does the work by itself. So in that sense, it's a passive system, and the human being has a hard time not getting it right. So you will get it right. It's just a question of letting, like riding a bike or a car, letting yourself go through the training and actually, you know, being able to, I would say, reset your amygdala is what it does. It enables you to either maintain calm or return to calm, return to the present in a way that nothing else I've seen has been able to do. So what I'm doing today is I'm in my part of my integrated program, which I'm only one part of my program, because as I said, I believe that health, mental health, is about spiritual, emotional, intellectual, physical, and social health, because I believe that we have all those components and we have to integrate them in a healthcare program. But my part of my own program is using NeuroCare Pro to help people to make an upgrade of their hardware, is the way I'll say it. In other words, their brain function, their central nervous system, their anxiety factor will change entirely. And even sleep. I mean, it's used in Norwalk Hospital Sleep and Insomnia Center. It's probably the main thing they use today. The whole staff is trained in Connecticut because it's so effective with sleep issues. And then I use EFT and NLP and sometimes hypnosis, although in Israel I call it deep relaxation because it's a legal issue. I use mainly EFT and NLP, and that is for behavioral change because everyone needs the process. And no matter how calm you are inside and how much better you function than you did before, we all have our stuff. And if we want to change our behavior and work through our emotions, I haven't really found anything as effective as emotional freedom techniques and NLP. So I've actually licensed and trained, you know, 500-600 facilitators in Israel in emotional freedom techniques.
That's, you know, I keep hearing about EFT. As you know, I've interviewed Sarah Hannah Radcliffe here, who I think you know.
Yes.
You recognize the name, right? And she uses it in her work, and I was very impressed by her. And you, at first blush, it just, you know, it's hard for me with my academic background to give it credence, but I'm hearing such rave reviews from such diverse quarters that I'm trying to open my mind to it a bit.
Well, Dr. Dave, you know, it looks kind of too simple to be true. And when
exactly.
I first learned it in 1995 at a brain function conference of neurofeedback in California, I thought it was, you know, just too simple to be true. But what's really interesting is that I don't really believe there's anything in the medical world, whether it be alternative or adjunct or conventional medicine that's not, you know, a pill or a weight loss program. You know, I don't think there's any technique that's actually had so much success as EFT. I mean, I think 500,000 people are looking at Gary Craig's website today, and there's well over 100 other websites, and most of the big people in alternative medicine have endorsed it, like Deepak Chopra and Sheely and Epstein and Candace Pert and Lipton, Nobel Prize winners. It works. I can tell you that I formed a nonprofit organization, which I'd really like to talk about on your show, called Israel Trauma Care. It's a website, israeltraumacare.org, which is a American nonprofit as well as an Israeli nonprofit organization. And I formed it a few years back for the purpose of giving free psychotrauma treatment to terror victims and war victims here. And I don't know if you know the numbers, but there were over 115 public city buses blown up in Israel in the last many years. And you can imagine each bus is a world of victims and their families. So, you know, in addition, there's all kinds of things happening here. And what I was looking for was tools that work.
Yes.
And I examined so many things. I'm licensed in so many things. I've examined a traumatic incident reduction and the VK dissociation in NLP and EFT and TAT and somatic experiencing and, you know, short-term brief methods and EMDR and all these methods, and I found that at the end of the day, there's really nothing like EFT because you can teach it to anybody, it works very quickly, And it's something that just self-enables the victim or the client to be able to, in a short training period, to be able to begin to process their own issues. Of course, everyone does better with a professional because we have our own blockages to dealing with our own problems. But if you can imagine a person having simple anxiety or control issues come up after a terror attack, if you have any loud noise behind you for years afterwards, you have control issues, red lights flying, because your control was removed and there was usually a loud sound involved. So if you could mediate that yourself, it's major. And in fact, by talking about the problem cognitively, I found that many people were feeling worse because they're not accessing their physiology. And that, in my book, is really the main point. Whether we're talking NeuroCare Pro neurofeedback or we're talking EFT or the other tools that I use, it's all about physiological state, meaning if you have a negative feeling or thought, and this is actually the discovery statement in Gary Craig's EFT, and that is that any time you have a negative thought or a negative feeling, or even a positive one for that matter, there's always what Gary calls a disruption in your energy system. Now that's California. I'll just bring it down to another language.
Okay.
In the Ethics of the Fathers, which is an ancient Jewish text, it says you can't calm a person down when he's upset. Because we even say it. You say, I'm upset. Usually, when you say those words, either there's tension in your wrist or your jaws or your chest just by saying the word about, what you're upset about. So it's a reality that when a person's upset or when a person's grieving is also a reality, you can't begin to bring them down to a rational, calm reality until you help their physiology relax. So that's why what I have learned is that I always start with the physiology. And the words are, in EFT particularly, and NLP, basically they're a targeting mechanism. In other words, they're not to conquer the problem. They're to be tuned in to the channel of the problem. Like a radio station, if you're tuned in, there's no static. So I'm assuming whenever someone comes in my office, they are in their stress response. So the first thing I'm going to do is sit them down in my zero-gravity chair and give them a session of NeuroCare, because then they're going to be so calm and relaxed, and they're going to feel great.
What's a zero-gravity chair? What is a zero-gravity chair?
Well, it's like what astronauts use, but there's various companies that produce them now. It's just a chair that goes back to a position that you can feel zero gravity, and it's useful for trainings like NeuroCare because you just want a very relaxed environment for a person to be able to let go easier. Because, again, NeuroCare is not about trying. It's about letting go.
Okay.
So it's just a gimmick in a sense, but yeah, it's a useful one.
There may be listeners who aren't familiar with EFT, emotional freedom technique, and I've kind of seen it demonstrated. I know it involves tapping on what I presumably are acupuncture points. Maybe you could kind of give us an overview of what a session looks like.
When a person comes into an EFT session, which I do even over the phone, with Skype or without Skype, you can even do it without Skype, but the point is that you want to teach them the points as soon as possible. They are actually meridian points. Now, the difference between points and meridians is significant. Acupuncture and acupressure are similar. EFT is often called emotional acupuncture or emotional acupressure, meaning usually acupuncture is used primarily for physical pain. EFT is used for, basically, Gary says, try it on everything, and I've seen amazing results. We can talk about stories. I can tell you about victims, terror victims, and disassociated memories coming out and treating even the worst of the worst, which is sexual abuse, with EFT and having wonderful success. The basic idea, again, is that meridians are lines in the body. And there are 70, but 14 of them are essential, and we found a way. Gary has, you know, done just an amazing thing for the world. He deserves all the credit that he's got. He's reduced it to 8 or 10 points where you just tap on them. And as you know, tapping creates like a wave, so you don't even have to worry that you're exactly in the right place. Because if you're close, that, you know, wave function of tapping on your skin, and it doesn't matter how hard or how, you know, fast or slow, will send that vibration in the meridian, and it will at least calm you down. But that's really the tip of the iceberg, because what Gary did was he used NLP ways of talking. Reframing is one of the common, you know, tools in NLP that we're using all the time in EFT treatment, together with the tapping. And he also, you know, the main issue is getting good rapport with your client. And then I think really a main issue is humor. Because if you're intuitive and you use humor, it helps the person to externalize their problem and to see it as, you know, they're caught in it, but they don't need to be, and it's just a monster trying to get in your house from the outside, so just give them a kick out. So humor really, really helps. And, you know, there are two things I use a lot of, which in traditional psychology are not always approved of, and that is humor and personal disclosure. Mm-hmm. Because both of those things seem to help clients to be able to let go. They
I
just
agree.
Realize that we all have human experience that's in common, and that when we can be humorous about it, it suddenly becomes free-uppable, I'll say. And the issue is all because of the physiology. If you would not be tapping these points and be organizing your physiology, I do not believe you'd get the results. Now, if you ask Gary, you know, what's going on here, he doesn't really care because you're getting the results. I mean, you can be skeptical and call it simple pattern interruption if you're a hypnotist. You can just say it's Chinese medicine, or you could even try and say it's brainwashing. But you know what? He and I and most of the other good practitioners, we don't really care. Because we know that if we just do it, even without believing it, and we have the right kind of presence and environment with our clients, so they are going to oftentimes resolve lifelong traumas even in 1 to 3 visits. And it's amazing. It really is.
Well,
You said
you could tell some rather dramatic stories. This would be a good time for 1 or 2 of those stories.
Okay, great. Well, Israel Trauma Care, as I said, is an organization, nonprofit organization that I made for supplying free psychotrauma care for victims. Right now, I'm actually treating a family that are 9/11 victims living over here, where the father was a highly, highly functional, big earning person who was employed right near the towers. And he was on his way to work and saw them fall in front of his eyes, and he has not worked since that day. Many children in the family, and a child that's been in and out of mental institution because of seeing the father and what's, you know, the family's been going through. And I have seen countless Israeli or, you know, Anglos living here also that have been terror victims in Israel. And I could tell stories with both, you know, I do use an integrated program. I'd like to talk about that at length, but I'll just a few stories to get us going. You asked me for EFT. In the Northern War, the Lebanon War, which was, you know, a couple years back, the Hezbollah was shelling Northern Israel heavily. And I was asked by a major trauma center on the northern border to go up to a northern city and teach the psychologists and reserve soldiers and work with people in bomb shelters. So I ended up in the northern city of Sfat. I went into the psychological services, the city municipality building, and I first worked with a psychologist there, and they took me to a few places. I gave a seminar for reserve soldiers. I went into an Ethiopian absorption center. And then I went into bomb shelters. I was in a bomb shelter, which was mainly women and children. And there was a 15-year-old blonde-haired boy with earrings in his ears, long wavy hair, And he looks very, very different from me. You know, I'm in a long black coat with a beard. And, you know, you might have thought that that could be an issue of rapport. So I quickly got his rapport. The psychologist was in the back of the room watching me work. And everybody was sitting together, mostly women and children. The 15-year-old boy had been in a field in the south end of the city playing when a Katyusha missile, which I don't really believe your listeners know how that happens, but these missiles, as I found out when I was up there, because I was actually giving these seminars while the missiles were flying, and there's some film on that on Israel Trauma Care site. You'll see some of my students and also some of the footage from working in the war that I did. And the missiles come so fast that you really don't know there was a missile until it already passed you and landed. So that's really frightening. Because, you know, if you see something coming, at least, you know, you think you can get out of the way, you know?
Yeah.
But if it's just there, and then, usually it whooshes past you, and you actually feel it, and then you say, oh, good, I'm still alive, you know?
Yeah.
So this boy, it landed, I guess, 100 meters from him, and he was afraid to go out of the bomb shelter since then. So I spent no more than 15 to 20 minutes working with EFT with him, and the psychologist's mouth just dropped. He said, I just know how to talk. I can't do that. But what I did was I gained his rapport and used humor and did some, you know, a session with him. And the trauma was nullified. And how we knew that is because built into the procedure of EFT is constant testing. That means we use primarily something we call the movie technique, which is making the event into a very short movie. EFT always works best when you very specialized, zero in on aspects of the problem. You don't take off too much. You take off one event. So a missile falling might have hours around it, but the actual event of being in the field and, you know, playing and then the missile fell and then what happened after is usually, you know, just a couple minutes or less. And maybe the moment of truth could even be a few seconds, okay? And that's what you try and do in EFT right away is zero in on a movie that's small enough. It's kind of a paradox. It sounds like traditional medicine that you're looking at symptoms rather than causes, but our reality is with EFT is that when we get very specific and we focus just right in on exactly the moment that is the traumatic moment, it seems to somehow get to the underlying levels in the personality of wherever that emotion was layered into your life through other events. So by, we call it actually a name in EFT called the generalization effect, that if you take out a tree in the forest, so the other trees seem to get uprooted with them, and sooner or later, enough trees, the whole forest falls down, which is why when treating a terror attack, an emotionally disturbing issue, this technique has no abreaction like other techniques like EMDR often wants abreaction, but we don't need that in EFT because what happens is you look for the least distressing event in a major trauma, and when you take care of that, you already changed the more distressing events, and sometimes you never have to even get to the main event. It's already gone by dealing with the parts of the movie on the way up to the main crescendo. So it's a very unique technique in that way. It's so gentle and so ecological, we would say, in NLP. And I just, you know, went through the story with him, and by the time he got to the main crescendo of, you know, the missile fell and, you know, it could have killed him and he was afraid of dying. He had already moved it and he actually, you know, went out of the bomb shelter and he was laughing and he was able to go over and over and over the story and not feel the charge. That's and I recently had that with a little girl that I treated who had had an abuse issue where, you know, somebody older had touched her inappropriately. And I did the same thing with her family, an adult present. I don't work with such issues. I don't work with women with such issues without having a girlfriend or somebody present. And I don't work with kids without having, other people present. But I went through it and over again. And inside 20, 30 minutes, she had even reframed a healthy approach, and she was only like 11 years old. She had reframed a healthy approach to her future in terms of, you know, looking at men and looking at, you know, these kind of issues, which are still way beyond her age, you know.
Well, that's really wonderful. So now, do you have any evidence that these results last?
Oh, that's a great question. Now, I can just tell you story after story from for terror traumas that they last. You know, I have a lawyer who is a top lawyer sitting in a central building in Jerusalem where a bus was blown up right in front of his window, and he couldn't go in his office because every time he went in his office, he just kept recreating that old information. And he just knocked it out in one session, and he goes to work fine. And I have many, many other cases of terror traumas with flashbacks leaving and with, I had in the Northern War, I had a man, this is a very interesting story, a man who saw two missiles. One fell close to his back porch and one fell on a far hill that he saw in the distance. Now, really interestingly enough, it was the far one that traumatized him. And he was severely traumatized. He had to leave the region. And I saw him near my region because I also worked with people that were refugees to my region during that war. And he accessed very quickly disassociated memory from just by tapping a little and talking of when he had been a little boy at his grandfather's house, that he was going to sleep at night and he heard the train. And he had these nightmares that the train was chasing him and going to run him down. And interestingly enough, the way his physiology was wired was when he saw this missile far away shooting over the mountain and landing, it was somehow connected to the train dream nightmare of chasing him to run him down and kill him. And this had him severely traumatized. It was just resolved in one session. His child had a bathroom trauma, couldn't go to the bathroom by himself, resolved in one session.
Wow.
So these are things that once resolved, they don't really come back because these kind of fear traumas are kind of encoded like viruses in a computer. So once you undo the coding, they really don't usually come back. And I have, you know, I mean, I know one lady who was in a course training of mine, EFT. She had wanted me to treat her for arthritis in her knees in front of the group as a demonstration. Because I just love to give demonstrations in front of groups. And that's how you teach this technique well as well. And I don't teach didactically anymore. I just can't stand a lecture. I just start people tapping right away because when they tap, they start to smile. You see their real smile because their physiology changes. And they start to let their stress response go. And you see who they are. And then they can talk about anything. And then, you know, the things that are bothering them start to go. So this lady, that's why, you know, to teach didactically, you can talk at them for a half hour, an hour, and they never started tapping. And, you know, they're just either not listening because they don't have an attention span, or they're just feeling nervous about when are they going to deal with their problem. But if you start them right away by tapping the points, and you don't even tell them what to talk about, so it evens out their physiology. Then when they start talking, they find out that, you know, things just start going. So oftentimes now, even though I have all these models developed that you know, that Gary doesn't even teach about how to teach EFT, I just give them after the fact, after people have already had the results, because then their mind wants to understand, just like yours, Dr. Dave, how could such a simple thing work?
Yeah, you're making me want to attend one of your courses. Now, trauma is one thing. Arthritis in the knee is quite different.
Oh, I'm so glad you picked up on that, because Gary will tell you, try it on everything, and it's true. You know, this is a physiological issue, but you're going to hear how everything's linked. So I'm going to tell you that story, but I want to ask your permission to just backtrack, because I want to just reveal my model and then go back to the arthritic knees.
Okay,
example, because it will demonstrate.
I need to let you know that we're starting to kind of come near the end of our time, so you'll have to be brisk.
Okay, I'll do that. Okay, so my model is a model that, as I said, you have to handle spiritual, emotional, intellectual, physical, and social to upgrade human health. So I have a model now that we are dealing with terror victims, and we're about to also deal with adult women that are emotionally sick, because we believe we have no problem curing depression and adult emotional sickness, so that people that couldn't marry or live productive lives will be able to do that. But in order to do that, we need neurofeedback for the upgrade of the hardware, the internal upgrade. We need EFT and NLP for processing and behavioral change. And we need nutrition, because there's great evidence now, and I'm working with a top expert, that psychiatry and psychiatric disorders are unbelievably affected by balancing amino acids, mineral balance, and fatty acids. And, of course, everybody knows today about the gamma-3s to the gamma-6s as well, and also hormonal balancing naturally, bioidentical hormones. We have Dr. Yaffa for that. So we have like a complete program. That's what we believe in, what I'm doing with Israel Trauma Care, is proving the model and getting beyond the private sphere of, you know, competitive mental health. We want to put it all together. We'd love to see public financing for it, which is why we have a nonprofit that people can write off their taxes by subsidizing, directly subsidize terror victims' treatment, or directly subsidize curing depression, so that people can have these programs. And it's a complete program that we're doing for the depression and emotional sickness part of it, an in-residence program, because this is a transformation of lifestyle. And it's going to really bring about a total change. The NeuroCare itself brings about an amazing change. And I do want to say what it's done for me personally, in addition to my clients, but for me personally, I sleep only 5 hours a night because of NeuroCare. I used to need close to 7. I wake up every day feeling great. I'm even all day. My mind works much better. My anxiety response is totally different. I recover from overwhelm totally, much better and quicker. My emotional connectivity, and I'm 51, has gotten much, much better. And these are, you know, major things. So we have a complete program like that. Now, about the arthritic knees, she had, you know, at EFT, you rate the problem in the present when you start. She was like a 9 or a 10 out of 10 in the SUDS, Subjective Units of Distress Scale rating. And in a few minutes' work, she started accessing that she started the pain when she was sitting in the hospital next to her 20-year-old daughter who had gotten a mysterious illness that they said she might die. She later got well, thank God, but she thought her daughter might die. And the chairs next to the bed were very uncomfortable for her. But she started immediately accessing all the emotional stuff of being terrified her daughter would die. She went into crying, laughing, crying. In a few minutes, she went through all that. And then I asked her, do you remember what we were working on? Tapping all the time. She said, no. I said, what about your knees? She said, oh, yeah, they're a zero. I said, could you please get up and go into where there's steps and walk up and down the steps? She did it, zero. But she had forgotten that we were working on arthritic pain, because she went into a whole emotional issue about her daughter, and and it just shows that our systems are totally linked. We can't really expect to have total health unless we access spiritual, emotional, intellectual, physical, and social. And she actually got rid of the arthritic pain. I checked, followed up on her, because you asked about results. I followed up on her weeks later, and she had had major changes in her arthritic pain. So I don't know how to explain that logically, but it works.
Well, that's
I've had
great.
People I've had people with 30-year-plus cigarette addiction in one seminar stop smoking cigarettes.
That is
now,
amazing. Because I've tried to work with people with that, and it's some. Go ahead. You say it won't happen with everyone?
It won't happen to everybody, that's for sure. And you've got to access those deep issues, like control issues or whatever. But obviously, anybody who's doing something wrong, and wrong is, you know, a religious word, but what it means here is I have a spiritual presupposition that if you're doing something that is, you know, not considering other human beings, or it's stealing, or it's immoral, or whatever you feel is wrong, you're not going to get well until you remediate it. So any addiction is some kind of hole in the person's happiness or love factor, And they're going to have to find a way to fill that. And they have to find a way to fill that that's also positive for them and other people. And it's, according to their map of the world, they're doing the right thing and not the wrong thing. And this is where, you know, it's not just physical, emotional, or mental. It's also spiritual and social.
Yes, well,
and
you know,
this
is probably a good place for us to wrap it up. And I wonder if you could let listeners know your website.
Right. Okay, all my websites are out of date, but the one we're working on right now to make the main one is IsraelTraumaCare.org. As I said, my entire focus right now is integrated medicine in a way that we can nonprofit finance, subsidize both the treatment of the only two areas I'm really focusing on right now at the moment are terror victims or war victims, and secondly, curing, I'll use the word cure because I know it's a radical word, curing emotional disorders, includes depression, includes abuse, includes eating disorders, and we've chosen to focus on adult women because of a few reasons. One, because my wife and I can work together in the program, and we have, you know, these doctors we're working with. Two, because if you enable a woman to get married, have children, and live a productive, normal life, so you've made an impact on generations. And it's also an arena where, with an in-residence program, we can really refine the tools we're using because technology is always advancing. But we're certain with what we have now that NeuroCare Pro is the most profound upgrade we can make on the hardware of a person, together with EFT and NLP, and together with these programs that will be vitamin, mineral, and hormonal balancing, along with exercise, along with spirituality, along with some kind of occupational therapy that develops art or music or some, you know, enjoyable skill, that in 6 months we can turn lives around. So I'd like to promote IsraelTraumaCare.org because it's a way for the public to actually tax-deductibly enable us in Israel to make a difference that will reach far beyond Israel to the whole world, because what we'll do is we'll create and refine a model that can be replicated in virtually any system, and it's an integrated model which will acknowledge that a human being to be healed needs spiritual, emotional, intellectual, physical, and social completeness, and a change of lifestyle, a transformation. So we're working with transformative tools that all work through the physiology, because by mediating the physiology, then a person's thoughts and emotions are automatically going to become healthier.
Okay. Well, this has been a fascinating interview, and I'm sure people are going to want to go to your website and check it out. So, Rabbi Legomsky, thanks so much for being my guest today on Shrink Wrap Radio.
Well, Dr. Dave, I really want to thank you, and I will just allow my email to, if people want to contact me personally, it's eftrabbi@gmail.com. That's Emotional Freedom Techniques, eftrabbi, R-A-B-B-I, @gmail.com. And I welcome the input of the world, because I do believe that only by working together and by transcending the boundaries of medicine being a private and individual enterprise will we come to the answers that we need to take what is an ailing planet and to make it a much more compassionate world.
Okay, well, thank you. I hope you enjoyed this conversation with Rabbi Legomsky. He was recommended to me by longtime listener and repeat guest Sarah Hannah Radcliffe. I appreciate the recommendation. As the rabbi points out, Israel is certainly one of the trauma centers of the planet, with folks there having endured bombings and rocket attacks now for many years. After I turned off the recorder, Rabbi Legomsky talked some more about the integrated and comprehensive residential program that he and his wife are in the midst of putting together for women suffering severe psychological problems as a result of trauma. He's very eager to find donors who are willing to support this program, either in part or in full. In other words, he'd like to find one or more funding angels who believe in the importance of this work. He emphasized that he would be willing to travel anywhere in the world to put on a free workshop if there are people attending who would be likely candidates to offer substantial support. If you or someone you know might be interested in this, his email address is eftrabbi@gmail.com, and the website again is www.israeltraumacare.org. And these links will be in our show notes at shrinkwrapradio.com as well. By the way, there's some interesting videos on that website which will show the rabbi at work.
I've been laying on this couch, babe. I've been laying here so long. Just waiting for Dr. Dave, babe, to play his shrink wrap radio song. Oh, he plays it so sweet and he plays it so warm. Shrink wrap radio, it's a harbor from the storm. You know he speaks to your mind, babe, but he's really speaking to your soul. Talking shrink wrap radio, babe. You know that's just the way that he rolls. At the end of the day, you know what you'll find. Like Dr. Dave said, babe, it's all in your mind. At the end of the day, you know what you'll find. Like Dr. Dave said, it's all in your mind.
Yes, sirree, Bob. Let me remind you that you can order your own Shrink Wrap Radio t-shirt and see what other listeners you discover in the wild. You'll find a link on our website where you can place your order for any of a number of styles, short sleeves, long sleeves, golf, polo, and so on. And remember, you get it at my cost. I don't make a cent on these. Now, on the last show, I asked if any of you are on Second Life. I did hear from one person. I haven't had time to go in and meet her. I think it's a her yet. Her Second Life name is Malaros Quintessa. As I mentioned before, listener Elaine has purchased a beautiful property there and has created a conference space for Shrink Wrap Radio fans. She actually just bought some adjacent property to make the space even better. And she's offering us a chance to gather for discussions there. I spoke to Elaine just yesterday, and she suggested I let you all know that you can join Second Life for free if you're not already a member. You just download the software for either Windows or Mac, and then you pay nothing unless you decide to buy stuff or rent property in Second Life. I haven't had much time for Second Life lately, but it does seem like an idea worth exploring, getting together with some of you there. If you're a Second Life resident or you decide to join and check it out, drop me an email or contact Elaine, who is Marlena Poliatevska in Second Life, and I'm Dr. Dave Chusin there. And you can also look for Malaros Quintessa. I'm going to have to go in there and meet Malaros. You might also want to listen to my interview with Dr. Judith Beck on my other podcast at wisecounselpodcast.com. Judith Beck is the daughter of Dr. Aaron Beck, who founded the whole cognitive therapy movement. And Judith has taken over as director of the Cognitive Therapy Institute, which he established. I want to thank the folks who've made PayPal donations through our Top Spots widget on our site. Be sure to check them out, and please consider making a $20 donation yourself in exchange for an opportunity to promote your favorite blog or website there, or your own. Just go to shrinkwrapradio.com and look at that top right-hand side of the page. And the list of interview transcripts continues to grow. Consider becoming a volunteer and doing a transcription. Just drop me an email if you'd like to help out in that way. And of course, the sponsors for this show are Mevio, and GoDaddy. You can check out all of our GoDaddy discount codes on our site at shrinkwrapradio.com. For example, using the code SHRINK3 at checkout, you'll get a 10% discount on any domain names you purchase.
Shrink Wrap Radio. All the psychology you need to know, and just enough to make you dangerous.
Okay, once again, it's time to dip into our mailbag. First, we hear from longtime listener Susan G., who writes in response to my last Shrink Wrap Radio Live with Jerry Trumbull, in which we discussed an Atlantic Monthly article which raised the question of whether or not Google is making us stupid. And Susan writes, "Hi, I've listened to your last live discussion on the Atlantic Monthly article. My take is just posted on, and she has a blog, and she gives the link to her blog, and I invite you to check it out. You'll find it at http://asyourworldchanges.wordpress.com. That's asyourworldchanges.wordpress.com. A very intelligent and informative blog having to do with the fact that Susan suffers from macular degeneration. And so it really addresses the issues that come up with declining sight and how she's managed to cope with those issues. And it's kind of a meeting place for other people who are dealing with similar issues. She goes on in her email to say it's got geeky computing ideas and a wild-ass conjecture about brains and hyperlinks. See the stroke and reading discussions toward the end. Does a hyperlink cause a physical mental reaction, like there's something out there I need to know to survive in this information world? I'm interested in your reactions to this from an armchair psychology student." There's an interesting discussion in her blog of going back into the earlier history of computing and computer programming. Before we had hyperlinks, when people were writing programs, there's the go-to command, which is a branching command. And so she kind of speculates about wondering if that had a similar effect of kind of splitting people's attention. I don't know, Susan. It's all too deep for me. I can't give you an intelligent comment, but I enjoyed reading what you had to say there. And then she referred me to the fact that she was interviewed on IT Conversations, which is a podcast that I've been listening to for some time. I don't listen to all of them, but it certainly was one of the ones that had a early influence on me. I almost named my show Psychology Psych. Actually, I was going to call it Psych Conversations. So it was a toss-up between Shrink Wrap Radio and Psych Conversations. And so Susan wrote, "Something I do know about is audio technology, as discussed in a recent podcast with John Udell on IT Conversations. Links are in my blog roll." So if you go to Susan's blog or you go to IT Conversations, look for the interview with Susan Gerhardt, particularly if you are dealing with vision issues. You're going to want to listen to that podcast because Susan offers a lot of valuable information and tips on how you can use a computer despite that disability. Next, we hear from Bjornar, a Norwegian male student. He lets me know. He says, "Hello again, David. I wrote to you a few months ago asking some advice about podcasts, etc. I continued the thread to ease your recollection of me, as I'm sure you get too many emails to keep track of persons and themes. I write to you this time to check with you if you've ever had a podcast show where you talked about the dodo bird effect. I have recently become very fascinated with the subject. I'm not familiar with the dodo bird effect by that name. I probably should have Googled it before reading this." But he goes on to say, "This came as a result of me just finishing a four-month practicum at a treatment center where we focused on client-directed outcome-informed practice." And he puts in parentheses Duncan and Miller. "I went to a seminar in Oslo where Barry Duncan was the main speaker, and it is really fascinating to see the results of studies conducted by Duncan, Miller, Wampold, and Lambert, etc., where the common factors in therapy are more related to the relationship placebo, and extra therapeutic factors than they are related to specific models or techniques. These findings have such major implications for how we should look at our work and profession, and I'm really interested in hearing your opinions on the matter. And also, the before-mentioned question, have you discussed this subject in any of your podcasts? If not, why not invite Duncan or Miller to your show? Bess Bjornar. Well, as I wrote in my email response, actually, I did interview Scott D. Miller. I think it's one of the best favorite podcasts that I've done, actually. I don't have the number now right in front of me, but if you go to Shrink Wrap Radio and you type in Miller, actually I've interviewed two Millers, but look for the one with Scott D. Miller. You'll find that podcast there. I recommend it to you all because, yes, I not only did I interview him, but I got to attend a day-long workshop in which he presented. I've not seen Barry Duncan present, but I can tell you Scott Miller is one of the best presenters I've ever seen in my life. It was absolutely fascinating. Their books are very persuasive that, in fact, as you point out, relationship, placebo, and extra therapeutic factors seem to be the most important things going on. And early on in this series, I took flack because I said that I thought therapy had more in relation to shamanism than to science. Part, that's what I was getting at. That's what I was drawing upon. Finally, our philosopher, instructor, friend, listener up in Canada, Paul, writes, "Hope you're well. Your show continues to fascinate me. Keep up the wonderful work. I was listening to your episode on being a therapist to the stars in a very opportune setting on Wilshire Avenue in Los Angeles, sitting outside the Literati Cafe, which coincidentally is a cafe much dedicated to celebrities as well as artists. I found the show deeply interesting on many levels, and since listening to it, got thinking about the high, perhaps royal value of celebrities in our culture. It would be great if you could do a show on why people in our culture regard celebrities with such value and what they are searching for in doing so. It was suggested in an excellent book that I'm reading, Why Good People Do Bad Things, by psychologist James Hollis, that there is a kind of emptiness in us that's responsible for this. Could it be that we are searching for meaning, maybe in the same way that we did formerly by way of religion through the stars? Warm regards, Paul." Paul, I'll have to give further thought to that. I'm running out of time to comment on it, so that'll be my excuse for moving on. So that's going to wrap it up for today. Send your emails to shrink@shrinkwrapradio.com. Leave comments on the site. Leave voicemails on Skype where we're ShrinkPod. Use the My Chingo button on our site to record a voice message. Send me transitions. Use my phone number at 206-337-0622. And tell all your friends about Shrink Wrap Radio. Always trying to build our listenership here. Thanks again to Rabbi Emmanuel Yosef Legomsky for sharing about his work on dealing with PTSD in Israel. And next week's show will feature an interview with Dr. Jed Diamond, and we'll be discussing male menopause and irritable male syndrome. So if that doesn't tick you off, we'll see you then. This is Dr. Dave saying, it's all in your mind. Thank you.